The following sermon was preached at Soma Community Church, a church in Jefferson City that exists to build communities of transformed disciples who live for the glory of God by connecting people to Christ and community. For more information, you can find it at www.somajc.org.
He is risen.
He is risen.
Billions upon billions of saints around the world have said that all day today. All day today have proclaimed the truth that He is risen. He is risen indeed. And so if you haven't already, I want you to grab that card again. I want you to wave it at me. Make sure that you have it already filled out. If you haven't, on the top part, this little section, I want you to just fill that out and keep it close to you because you're going to need it here in a little bit. Everyone should have one on their chair. Everyone should have a pen there for you to fill it out for you. And if you don't know who I am, my name is Pastor John. I am the pastor of Soma Community Church. We're a small church that's been up the street for the last 4 years. We're here to celebrate the risen Savior with you. And really, the most important day of the year. Somebody told me the other day that this is kind of like the Super Bowl for pastors. And it is. I wore a bow tie for you. That's how important it is. If you come on a regular Sunday, I don't wear bow ties. And so this is important because it is our risen Savior. I want to get into the sermon, but here's the thing that you should know. You can go to the grave of just about everybody else. You can go to Muhammad's grave, you can go to Buddha's grave, you can go to everybody else's grave, but you cannot go to Jesus' grave. This is what we celebrate today. By the way, I need somebody to talk back to me because I'm kind of hyped up. I got like 3 hours of sleep, so I need somebody to talk to me today. If y'all ain't talking, I'm going to talk to myself, okay? Okay, here we go. So I'm going to go back over here and try this one more again. Okay, some of y'all are like, well, there's too many white people. That's okay, you can talk. It's all right. We can do this, okay? I saw your face. Okay, here we go. Muhammad's grave is full. Buddha's grave is full. But the grave that we celebrate today is empty. Amen?
Amen?
It is empty. And this is the point of coming today on Resurrection Sunday, is that we get to celebrate a risen Savior. And I want you to be able to celebrate that today with full heart. Now, here's the thing. Most of y'all grew up with Easter, right? You grew up going to church on Easter, wearing your Sunday best. Some of y'all busted it out today. I did. You know, you wanted to look nice, right? You did. I didn't match the shoes with the tie, but I was going for it, right? But I got the socks, right? Look at that. Okay. So we went all the way. But part of what we do on a day like this is sometimes we miss amongst the bunny and the Easter egg, which there's no bunny in the Jesus story at all. I don't even know where that comes from. None of that has anything to do with it. We miss the reason that we celebrate today. The reason we celebrate today is because of good news. Everybody say good news.
Good news.
Good news. What's the best news that you can imagine hearing? Like that's the one I want you to think about today. The best news that you can think of. For most of us, that question would easily stretch our imaginations, right? Like, I got my student loans paid off.
Amen.
Okay, I thought there's going to be a few amens there, right? I thought there'd be a few more adults that, like me, that are struggling to get them things out of there, right? Or ideas that we might consider or just get more and more expansive of the things that we want to celebrate, the things that we could think of that'd be the best thing that ever happened today. But today is about discovering / rediscovering the greatest news that ever was given. The greatest news that was ever given. It's about engaging this ultimate breakthrough. This idea that Jesus got out of the grave. That he had enough wits about him to fold up the cloth that was over his face and lay it down and walk away. That he had enough wits to roll the stone out of the way and then keep going. It's not limited to the scale of thought that you or I have. It is something of cosmic proportions. It is a redemptive narrative that you've never thought about in this way. It's a news of spiritual breakthrough that offers the ultimate fulfillment of your very needs. It's the very source of the news is called the gospel. Everybody say the gospel.
The gospel.
Good news. That's what it is. It's good news. That's literally what that word means. The book of Mark starts with the gospel. And so if you have a Bible, there should be one near you. Grab it. Turn in that Bible. And actually I have the page number up here. Turn to page 836. 836 in that hardback black pew Bible. If you do not have a Bible, you didn't come with one today, take the one that's in your hand. That is our gift to you. We want you to have it. We want you to read it. Listen, if you go to a church and a preacher's not preaching out of the Bible, go to a different church and keep the Bible, okay? We want you to keep God's word in your hand and know what it says. So I want you to have it in your hand as we go through it today, because I want you to see from God's word what Jesus said the gospel is. What Jesus said the gospel is. It is an announcement of the promised Messiah. The announcement of the promised Messiah. The announcement that he would come, this long expected king would come to the throne. And so in Mark chapter 1, this good news comes to all. It doesn't matter if you're Jew, if you're Gentile, if you're slave, you're free, male or female. Jesus came and He lived and He died for us. He raised from the dead and He will return for us to reconcile us to all things and all things to Himself. That's that gospel that we live for. That's the beauty of today. And those who follow Him will live in His presence under His rule as our King. So here's what I want you to do. If you found that, I want you to stand. In the honor and reading of God's Word. We stand for everything else in our life. We can stand for the honor and reading of God's Word. We're in Mark chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 14. Again, I want you to follow along with that Bible that's now in your hands. And the Word says, "Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel.' Passing along the Sea of Galilee, He saw Simon and Andrew, brothers of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Jesus said, 'Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men.' And they immediately left their nets and followed Him." This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You so much that we get to celebrate Your resurrection. That today, of all days, we get to celebrate, we get to come together on this campus with these people from the neighborhood, from the campus together to celebrate You. You are the one worth celebrating. You are the one we get hyped up for. You are the one we dressed up for, no one else. So Father, thank You. Thank You that You sent Your Son. Thank You that You brought completeness in Him. Thank You that You give us good news to live by in a world that's full of bad news. Jesus, thank You for making us complete in You. And Father, I just ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to You. That anything that is not of You goes away, and that anything that is of You sticks to our hearts and our lives. Father, bring the harvest, bring Yourself, bring Your Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, and all those who would agree would say, amen and amen. You may be seated. So if you've never been around me, I like big ideas. Here's why I like big ideas. I've been preaching for long enough. I know most of you guys are on the verge of tuning me out already. And so what I want to do is I want to give you one sentence. It's actually a question this week that I like to call a soul tattoo, because I want it to stick so deep in you that it does not leave. This soul tattoo is very simple. It's up on the screen. It's really simple, okay? I'm going to say it once. I want you to repeat it after I say it. Here it is. Jesus is my King, but is He yours? Let me say that one more time. I want you to hear it, and then we're going to say it. Jesus is my King, but is He yours? Everybody say that. Jesus is my King,
but is He yours?
That's the question you have to answer today. Jesus is my King, but is He yours? Is He yours? You see, the text today, Jesus says, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's here. It's here. So many of us, if you went to a church like I did growing up, we're waiting for, like, you know, the earth to burn up and things to go away, and then Jesus comes down, and then we get heaven. It's like, yay! But that's not what He said. The first thing Jesus said, read the gospel. I mean, again, that's why I want you to have the Bible in your hand so you know what it says. Inside the Bible, the first thing Jesus says when He comes on the scene is the kingdom of heaven is here. It's not coming, it's here. It's not almost, it's here. For hundreds of years, they had been waiting for the gospel to come, and it's here. This good news that the kingdom of God is here. Matter of fact, Jesus says this more than anything else in the gospels. He says it 106 times. Now, I don't know about you, but when my mama told me something like twice, she meant it, right? When she said it three times, I was about to get whooped. When she said it four times, I was getting the Board of Education, right? That's what we called it in our house, okay? So it was coming, right? So if Jesus says something 106 times, do you think He means it?
Yes.
Yeah, He means it. 106 times He says the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is here. This is one of the most important things you have to understand. The kingdom of God is for all followers of Jesus Christ. And that makes you, if you are a follower, a kingdom person. We are kingdom people. We are about His kingdom here on earth. And those who acknowledge Jesus as their sovereign in their lives are under the guiding influence of the Spirit of God. This is a relevant question for you, because, let me put it this way. Is the kingdom of God a thread woven through your story? Is the kingdom of God a thread woven through your story? I've traveled overseas a few times. When I was younger, I got to travel a lot. My father's from Jamaica. And so I got to go overseas a lot. And I had a passport. And it's kind of fun because when you go overseas, you go with a certain amount of power. You go with a certain amount of things as an American citizen. You got a passport. You pull it out. You go to the thing. They look at it and they stamp it. They look, oh, okay, great. Welcome in. Right? And you get to go in and you have to keep your passport on you everywhere you go. Everywhere you go. Why? Because you are representative of the United States of America. Which is kind of scary for some of us, the way we act when we go overseas. But that's a whole different subject. So when we get there, you are a representative of the United States of America. When you walk in, you are representative. Everybody who sees you knows, when I was in Jamaica, they would say, that's the American boy. Right? That was me. That was the American boy. And I knew that about myself. I walked around. I was never the Jamaican kid, no matter how much patois I learned. I was always the American boy. I was different. I was set apart. I was wholly different than everything else around me because of where I come from. If you are a person of the kingdom of God, you are a kingdom person. You walk with a kingdom passport. You have a kingdom stamp on your soul. That is who you are. You should act like it. Is it woven throughout your whole life? Or maybe you're just playing games. Maybe you grew up like me, had enough Christianity where you grew up and you knew the games, right? You knew how to stand up at the right time, sit down at the right time, say the right things, read my Bible just enough so I knew enough verses. I could fake it till I make it. I've heard that 1,000 times. Heck, I got baptized when I was 8 and that was the same year I became an atheist. Is the kingdom of God woven throughout your whole story? Has it shaped and changed you, or are you just playing a game? See, I can tell you the kingdom of God is woven throughout my story because I'm willing to sacrifice for it. When it comes down to it, I'm willing to sacrifice it for it. One of the best sacrifices you'll see is in a couple weeks, if you go to Lincoln's graduation, and the young men and young women that get commissioned up on stage for them to go serve in our military, they sacrifice for us. Are you willing to sacrifice for the kingdom of God? 106 times he says, the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is here. What are you waiting on? Is it woven throughout your story? But the second thing Jesus says, and he says it implicitly, not explicitly, but he says this, I'm your king. Jesus says, I'm your king. He's King Jesus. I'm your king. You see, there's no kingdom without a king. That's not the way it works. There's no kingdom without a king. And so when he said the kingdom of God is here, he explicitly told you, hey, by the way, I'm the king. That's what they understood. Go to his crucifixion. Pilate says, are you a king? He goes, who told you I was a king? Like they have this whole dialogue about him being the king. Is he the king of your life? Pay careful attention to the inspired words from the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15. It says this, now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you. This is the Apostle Paul, which you received and by which you stand, by which you are being saved. If you hold fast the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain, I deliver you from first importance and what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance to the scripture. He was buried and raised on the third day, accordance to the scriptures. And he appeared to Peter and then to 500. He's your king. Is he your king? Is he your king? Like, that's the question you have to ask. Is he your king? Well, here's what I mean. I remember as a child, I used to get out and get to play. When I got to high school and, you know, you play football, you play basketball, you get to go out. And I'll never forget getting to go out with my boys after we won a game. I lived in kind of a small town, and so we'd go out and drive the strip with everybody, you know. And I remember my dad, before I went out in my car, he'd always be like, boy, let me tell you a couple things. He'd always remind me. And he would remind me one thing in particular. He'd say, boy, remember the name that you have on your back. You see, the first part always had Lansing, which is the school I went to, on the front, right? So I wear my jersey, even though it stunk to all get out. But whatever, I wear my jersey. But on the back, it said Nelson. You see, my father was subtly reminding me of who I represented. He said, boy, remember that name that's on your back. Amongst everything else, remember that name that's on your back. You see, that name meant something to my father, and that name means something to me. It meant enough that it changed the way I behaved. It changed the way I acted. When my friends and family wanted to act a fool, I chose not to because of the name that was on my back. When my friends wanted to go and get in fights, I chose not to because of the name that was on my back. The things that they chose to do, I chose not to because of the name that was on my back. You see, if King Jesus is your king, then you should act differently. You should walk differently. You should talk differently. Things should be different in your life because he's the king of your world. Is he your king? Or did you just get a get out of hell free card and get a little bit wet one day and hope everything's going to be okay? Are you hoping to bribe your way into the pearly gates? Because it doesn't work that way. Jesus makes it very clear, the kingdom of God is here. Is he your king? Guys, I don't want to play games today. I really don't. I want to be honest with you and straightforward with you. And so many of us grew up in the areas where we could play that game and have a little fun. I don't want to do that anymore. I just want to push back and ask, is he your king? Is he your king? Does he drive everything you do? You see, what did our king do? Well, we've sang about it, right? You saw it up on the screen. You heard about it. It's even in scripture. What did he come to do? He came to live the life you should have lived. He died the death that you and I deserve. He died my death on that cross. That's what Good Friday is about. What's good about it? It was the murder of our king. That's what's good about it. And he went into a rich man's grave and he stayed there for 3 days and death couldn't hold him. Basically, he got sick and tired of death and said, it's time to get up. He got up out of the grave. He walked away and then he walked amongst the disciples, told Peter, told John, walked around to the lady, said, hey, how y'all doing? Saw 500 other people just to make sure that they all knew that he was alive. Ate food with them. Went out to Panera. It was great. They had a great day. They enjoyed each other. And then he rose. He went to heaven and he said, listen, I go to heaven so I can send my spirit down to comfort and walk alongside you. That's what he came to do. This is what Jesus came to do. When he walked on the earth, he said, hey, I want you to understand that this is what it is. And here's the key of it. Here's the key. He did that for you. He did it all for you. I will say that again just so you get it. He did it all for you. If you were the only person on this earth that was willing to receive his free gift, he did it for you. He did it for you. That's what today is about. The fact that he rose from the grave and then in 40 days he ascends to heaven to be next to his Father. I celebrate that every single day of my life in this already not yet, knowing that the Father has brought him home to sit at his right hand and his spirit is with us now. So he says real quickly, what are you supposed to do? Well, let's go back to the scriptures. What does it say you're supposed to do? Well, it says right here, the time is fulfilled, the gospel at hand. He says, repent and believe the gospel. Everybody say repent.
Repent.
Say that one more again. Everybody say repent.
Repent.
Everybody say believe.
Believe.
The first word is repent. Repent means metanoia, Greek. You didn't know you're going to learn Greek today? There you go. Metanoia. Metanoia is the same word we get metamorphosis from. Now, if you're not familiar with metamorphosis, it's a weird little thing, caterpillars walking on a leaf, probably happening right now, they're eating, right? And then they go into a cocoon or a chrysalis, they liquefy themselves, which is just weird, and then they grow wings, and they come out and they're a beautiful butterfly, right? We all saw that. When you're in elementary school, you saw a little chrysalis, and you're like, oh, that's the coolest thing ever. But here's the thing, the change of the caterpillar happens from the inside out. It's not an outside in. See, so many of us, we go to church and we're like, I'm going to be a better person. No. It's a change of the heart, not the change of the outside. I mean, all you're doing is, if you're changing the outside and not changing the inside, you're just dressing up a pig. Nothing against you. We're asking you, has Jesus changed your inside, your heart? Is your life being changed? Or again, are we playing the game where we know how to act the right way and do the right things and say the right things? The repentance from the inside out of me. It comes out of me. My favorite repentance I see every single week with my kids is we pop popcorn. Take that little kernel of popcorn, you put it in hot oil, you let it heat up, and then it comes that soft, fluffy. It's beautiful, especially with a little seasoning on it. I'm getting good at it, I'm telling you. But the beautiful part about popcorn is that, again, it happens from the inside out. It is a metamorphosis of that kernel. Your life should change. You should change. You should be fundamentally different, yet still the same. Yet still the same. You see, the difference between myself, I would say BC and AD is this. I'm still me. I've always been the most hyped up dude I've ever been. I've always been the dude that's always going to grind. I've always been the dude that's going to never stop working. I'll stop when I die, pretty much. That's who I am. I get it from my father. I get it from my mother. That's who I am. I just do it for Jesus now. My life is tinged in that way now. It's not just about me anymore. Instead of doing it all for me, I do it all for him. I'm willing to put my yes on the table and say, Jesus, what do you want for me? Instead of, I'm going to drive here and hope you bless it. So many of us are hoping Jesus blesses what we do. Instead of driving towards him and going, Jesus, what do you want me to do? My yes is here. Have you put your yes before him? Have you opened your hands and said, yeah, I give you it all. I don't hold anything back. You're worth it to me. You see, that's what it means when he's your king. That's why I ask, is he yours? You can be in the habit, just like I was, of going through the motions, guys. You know the motions too well. You know when to stand up. You know when to sit down. You know when to show up. You know how to get baptized. Listen, everybody in the Bible knew the things to do. And Jesus called them broods of vipers. He called them horrible people. He said, you're going to hell. Don't play that game, guys. Don't play the game with him. It may sound strange, but listen, you're going to end up with a broken heart when you stand before our Father one day and go, Lord, I did all these things for you. I went to church. I set up all the monitors. I did all these good things. I told all my friends to hand out hundreds of flyers. And he's going to go, and I don't know you. I don't know you. I'm not your king. You never laid your yes before me to make me your king. You never said, I give you everything to make me your king. Is he your king? I know he's mine, but is he your king? The second thing he says, believe. Everybody say, believe.
Believe.
If we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the same way that we believe that Vladimir Putin is the leader of Russia, and have fulfilled the condition, have we fulfilled the conditions to be saved? And the answer is no. No, belief is more than that. Belief is more than just knowing that he's there. No. The devil believes in that way. The belief is so much more. Belief drives who you are. You see, what's missing is not believing in the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, but delighting in that fact. Delighting in that fact. I know that sounds weird. Like, okay, so he's the Son of God. Yeah, but delighting in it. Let it being your all in all. Letting it be everything that drives you. Letting it be something that wakes you up. In other words, belief is seeing him for who he really is. Seeing him as infinitely valuable as the Son of God. Not just acknowledging the fact that he's the Son, but also seeing him as infinitely precious and valuable in your life. Is he that? Is he the most valuable thing you've ever had? Are you willing to sacrifice for him? You see, that's what belief is. Belief is, okay, so I have this thing that I absolutely love, I've actually wanted to do, and I'm willing to put it down and say, Jesus, you're worth giving it for him. See, some of you guys that are Christians right now have had something that God has specifically told you to do, and you're being disobedient because you refuse to believe him. You refuse to believe that he's good, that he's worth it, that he's worth the sacrifice. Some of us, as believers, have been called to very specific things. And he says, do you believe that I'm good enough to walk with you? Do you believe that I will not give up on you? Do you believe that I will not leave you or forsake you? And our answer by our actions is no. You see, a lot of people in here, especially if you grew up in church like I did, are like, yeah, I believe. I believe Jesus. Yeah, I believe he was the Son of God. Okay, great. So what does that mean in your life? If you've been around me for 30 seconds, you know I'm going to ask you that question. What does that mean in your life? How does that show in your life? When the Holy Spirit begins to work in our life, we're not deceived just to say, oh, I believe this anymore. We recognize that our value is nothing compared to Jesus. That our value is nothing, yet he still gives us. Instead, we just want to know him, enjoy him, be with him more and more and more and more. That transition, that change of heart happens when we look away from ourselves and look to Christ and begin embracing him and all that God has for us. This is what it means to believe him. But then what does it mean to follow? Everybody say follow.
Follow.
That's the last thing he said. He said, repent, believe, follow. Repent, believe, follow. These are the things you must do. Repent, believe, follow. The Christian life is repent, believe, follow. If you're not repenting, believing, and following, you're not following the Christian life. The follow is very simple. Get up. Get up. It's real simple. Get up. So many people sit on their hind parts and don't do anything. Jesus says, get up. Walk with me. When Jesus, going back to the scripture, and we look in it, go back to verse 17, see what it says. I want you to see it so you know I'm not making stuff up. Here it is. It says in verse 17, and Jesus said to them, what words? Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And what's the next word? What's the next word in the scripture? Do you see it? And what? Say it a little bit loud. And what? Immediately they left their nets and followed him. They dropped everything and followed him. They gave up everything and followed him. They walked away from everything and followed him. But Pastor John, I'm 2 years into my college degree. I don't know if that's... Oh, he left everything and followed him. But Pastor John, I'm in my career and I really, really like it. They left everything and followed him. But Pastor, but okay, great. I got all the excuses on earth. Are you following him? Are you following him? Again, we can play the game all day long, all night long, but are you following him? Are you giving everything? Are we just acting like we're hoping that we wash away all the sins? Listen, you can sin as much as you want and then go back and repent about it, which is good. Okay, great, I repented. But are you believing and following him? Because if you keep running back to that same sin over and over, you're not really repenting. You're just hoping that God is good enough to give it up. I know, some of y'all came and you're like, man, it's Easter. I'm going to get something uplifting. Sorry, I just want to be real with you. I really want to be just really honest with you because I'm going to be honest. I've walked around so much with so many people and I'm kind of sick of just playing the game. I'm sick of playing the game. Let's just be real. So many of us look at the Bible and go, well, I mean, it's good. It's God is love. And you're right. God is love. But he also is wrath. God gives you everything that you should have. Yes. He gives you what you have and what you need, not what you want. So many of you guys are going through a test right now and you're struggling and you're like, I can't deal with this. I don't know what to do. And he's walking right next to you. He's saying, listen, repent. Repent of the sin that probably put you there in the first place. Believe the gospel is real in my life. And then follow me. Even if it costs you everything. Even if it costs you everything, follow me. Are you willing to follow him? You see, what can we call the kingdom gospel that best captures Jesus' preaching and teaching in the early church? This gospel is first announced by John the Baptist. He says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at near. He said that first. He said that in Matthew 3 and 2. Jesus preached that same gospel. He says the kingdom of God is now here. Right up until his ascension, all the way in Acts chapter 1, verse 5 through 8, Jesus says, I'm here. The kingdom of God is here. And when I leave, that spirit is going to come. He welcomed everybody who came. It's a proclamation of the rule and reign of Christ over all of your life. It's a proclamation that you were worth him dying. It's a proclamation that he wants all of you, not just some of you. And listen, many of us can play the game well. Many of us know exactly when to say and when to say it. But when we stand in front of Jesus, when you stand in front of Jesus and you look in those burning eyes, and he looks at your life, and he asks you, who are you again? It won't be a game anymore. He's my king. Is he yours? This is the message that I want you to understand today. Because that's my king. That's the king I live for. That's the king I die for. That's the king I sacrifice for. That's the king that I drive my whole life by. And I'm willing to give everything for. And so many people are like, well, I don't know if I'd give up that. That very thing is what he's asking you to put on the table. Whatever that is, he's saying. The kingdom of God speaks of forgiveness, but it also speaks of the sin in our life and eternal life. He says, I want you to put it all down. It's more than forgiveness. It is more than where we go after we die and or how we get into heaven. It's about more than just self-interest or trying to create a better world that fits our political or religious perspectives. Unlike the affirmation gospels, the kingdom gospel includes a call to self-denial. You give up yourself because God gave himself up for you. You give up yourself. In short, the kingdom gospel calls us to a life of following him. That's discipleship. That's the king that we follow. I wonder if you know him. I walk around campus and neighborhoods all day. You guys probably see me around, and I wonder if you know him. Because my king is incomprehensible. And I see people all the time, and I go, I just wonder if they know him. Is it worth it? Because this is the beginning of everything for me. In 2002, I heard this exact gospel for the first time on an Easter Sunday. In a church in Manhattan, Kansas. I'd never heard it before. I sat in the pew and I listened to this preacher bounce up and down off the stage and talk about how the kingdom of God is found in Jesus Christ. And I didn't know what to do with it. A year later, I came back to another preacher who looked just like him, had the exact same name. And he said the exact same thing. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, believe, and follow. And that was the first time in my life I had ears to hear. I'm not saying that your church didn't preach this as a child. Mine did. I just didn't have ears to hear. Maybe today your ears are ones to hear. Maybe today is the day that you're like, okay, I'm hearing this for the first time. Maybe today is the day that Jesus says, this is what you are going to hear and respond to. And so here's what I'd ask you to do. Grab that card again. There are four choices, and the gospel is easy as A, B, C, D. There are four choices. I'm going to ask you just to mark one. Very, very simply. One, I already served King Jesus and I want to go closer to Him this year. Maybe you're a believer and you're like, yo, I'm with Him. I'm already with Him. Everything's good. I just want to grow closer. That's my call every single year. I just want to be closer and closer to King Jesus. But maybe for the first time, you're a B. You're like, today, I want to begin a relationship with King Jesus. I want Him to be my King. I want to learn more about that. Mark that B. In a second, I have a call specifically for you. Or maybe C. I'm considering what Jesus did to save me, and I have questions I'd like to be answered. That's where I was the first time I heard this. I said, I got questions. I don't know about all that. I spent a year of my life searching until I finally received King Jesus. Or maybe D. The one I hope and pray nobody marks, but I put on there because let's just be real about it. I'm declining God's offer of salvation to me. I got it. And I pray you don't stay there for very long. Take a second. Be honest with yourself. Nobody's looking. Nobody's judging. Nobody's going to be like, ooh, I thought he was a Christian. No, it's okay. Just mark it. Be honest with yourself and mark it. Tell the world, tell King Jesus where you actually think about him. Don't play the game. Stop playing the game. It's not worth it. Grab that card and mark it. Mark one of those. And in a second, I have something that I'm going to ask you to do. The gospel is very clear. The gospel is very simple. I'm just going to say the whole thing of what I said in one short paragraph so you can hear it. It's this. The kingdom of God is here and Jesus is God the Son. He's a king. He came to live the sinless life. He died a death that I deserve for my sin. He was buried and resurrected in accordance with the scriptures and ascended to heaven. God the Father saves all who repent and believe the gospel and follow after Jesus. No ritual, no work, or any other activity is required in order to be saved. It is the power of God the Holy Spirit that enables us to genuinely and joyfully do what is pleasing to the Father while growing to be like His Son. And He sends you as a reconciler into this world. That's the gospel we believe at Soma. That's the gospel that's being preached around the world as Christians. That's the gospel that Jesus came to preach. That's the gospel I want you to receive today. And so maybe you've never heard that before. That's the gospel I'm saying, hey, if you believe that, I want you to receive that today. I want you to receive it. And so here in a minute, we're going to be singing some songs in response, and we want you to respond very, very clearly. Here's what we're going to do. There's two tables back there. There's going to be a young man over here. I'm going to be at the one over here, and we're going to be praying with you. If you mark that B, I'm going to ask you to go to one of those tables and just let us pray with you. If you're uncomfortable with that, I'm going to have a prayer on the screen that you can pray to receive Jesus. It's not magic. It's not magic. So you can pray it all day and not have anything change. But it's a prayer of the heart that says, I want Jesus to come into my life and to change everything. I'm okay with that. I'm willing to let Him do that. Maybe you're like, man, I ain't going to mark anything. Cool. I would ask you, just go ahead and mark D for me because that's really what you want to do. Just be bold about it. But make a decision. Because one way or another, it'll be made for you. Sojourner Truth said, there's two important days. The two most important days of your life are the day that you're born and the day you find out why. Maybe today's that day. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much. Thank you that we know the why. That you are a king and that we are all yours. Father, I just ask, I absolutely beg that you bring people to repentance before you, that you help us to believe and receive you as King. Help us not to play the game anymore, but to run up to you and celebrate you as a risen King, because you are risen indeed, and over the whole world, there are millions upon millions upon millions of Christians proclaiming that truth. and living with you as their King. Thank you, King Jesus, for being here today. We pray in your name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the audio of Soma Community Church located in Jefferson City. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for the content or alter it in any way without express written permission. For more information about Soma, please visit us at www.somajc.org.